Welcome to the greatest party weekend in the history of the world. Today, there are 2.8 billion Christians this weekend, all together, though in separate places, celebrating one thing, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen. If this is your first time at Emmanuel, welcome. We're thrilled that you joined us this morning, and our prayer is that God would say something to you that is of meaning and purpose. If I was to take a microphone and walk around and do kind of like a person on the street interview and ask you this question, how would you answer? What's the most pressing need that you have right now? Some of you may say, well, to be honest, I still have to go to the grocery store after the service to pick up a few last items, and so I'm hoping he doesn't go over or I'm in trouble. Some of you forgot that your inspection for your car is due in March, and now you're beginning to wonder, it's March 31st, what am I going to do? Yes, thank you. Someone just went, oh, yes. Some of you have young children and you're like, I really need sleep. That's the most pressing thing I need. Totally understand that. Now, if you kept asking yourself that question, what is a pressing need that I have in my life right now? I think, like most of us, we kind of go from the material and the physical, and eventually we drop down into the emotional, and maybe some of you would think, well, actually, what I need right now is a better social network because I'm going through a season of loneliness. Actually, what my spouse and I need is some marriage therapy because we're not on the same page. Actually, I'm struggling with anxiety and fear. And I don't know what to do about that. We have a tendency to go from the physical, material, to the emotional. But you know what? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we have greater and deeper needs still. And we call those soul needs or spiritual needs. And for the next few moments, I want to talk to you about your and my three biggest and greatest and deepest needs. Are you with me? Let's begin. All of us have a deep need for hope. Have you observed that there seems to be a sense of hopelessness in our culture right now? There's a lot of people struggling with hope, particularly a younger generation. Struggling with anxiety, depression, their self-harm, and even worse. We need hope. Well, Matthew chapter 28, verse 8 says, the women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who nobody knows exactly who that other Mary is, the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were frightened, but also filled with joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. What was the angel's message? The angel said to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, I am risen from the dead. Jesus, he's no longer here, and go tell my disciples, and I want to meet them in the Galilee area. So that's what the message was. So the ladies left, they went back to the disciples and told them, the tomb is empty, Jesus is risen, and you need to meet him in the Galilee. But I want you to look at this phrase. They were frightened, yet filled with joy. Well, why were they frightened? Because they were speaking to an angel. You'd be freaked out too, as I would be. But they were also filled with joy. Why? Because Jesus was risen. May I substitute the word joy for hope? Because it's the same exact thing. As many of you know, Holly and I have been living in a space these last several months of being afraid yet filled with hope. Because back in October, our young adult daughter was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer, and she immediately, with her family, her husband and our two grandsons, moved in with us. And so we've been all living together while she's been going through her chemo treatments at Fox Chase. And I have to tell you, just being human, we've been frightened. But we've not been without hope. Now, she's responded well to the chemo treatments, and Tuesday, she's going to have a PET scan, and the medical community says to her, we think the PET scan is going to reveal that there's no cancer. We're going to closely monitor you for the next couple years, but we think you're fine, and we think that this is a season of your life that's over. And we are filled with hope for that. But listen to this. Even if she didn't do well with the chemo treatments, even if the diagnosis was not hopeful, we're still filled with hope. You know why? Because when Jesus resurrected from the dead, an insurrection started. The resurrection started an insurrection, and God said, now I am taking back this world from death and darkness, and I'm taking it back, and I promise you that death is never the end. Even if cancer overcomes you, there's still hope after that. There is going to be one day no more sickness, no more pain, no more tears. We have the promise of a resurrection because Jesus resurrected from the dead. Okay? Listen very closely. Not many people get their happily ever after story this side of heaven. Do you know why we're filled with hope? Because we know that death isn't the end, but we're also filled with hope for this other reason. Jesus has promised to walk beside us, walk with us through every single thing we experience in this life, the good and the bad, the up and the down. We are never alone. Holly and I know what it means to lose a child. We did many years ago. And we would be heartbroken if our daughter's cancer ended up in death, but we would not be without hope because we will see her again one day and we will spend all of eternity with her. We have the assurance on the inside of us that Jesus walks with us through every valley that we experience in life. So here's my question to you. Do you need more hope today? That hope comes through the resurrection. The second greatest need is the need for forgiveness. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, for he, Jesus, has rescued us out of the darkness and gloom of Satan's kingdom and brought us into the kingdom of his dear son who brought our freedom with his blood and forgave us of all our sins. Our greatest need is forgiveness because our greatest problem is sin. Every one of us knows what it's like to say things, do things, think things that we know are wrong. And what do we do with that? The weight of our sins becomes so heavy. Sometimes we feel super shameful, or sometimes we're covered with guilt and we're like, how can I get rid of this? Jesus' answer to that is the cross and the empty grave, because when Jesus rose from the dead, he broke the power of sin and the penalty of sin, which is death, inside of us. So this Lenten season, I've been thinking a lot about the similarities between Judas and Peter. Within hours of each other, Judas and Peter both betrayed Jesus. One did it out of greed. The other did it out of fear. But both were in Jesus' inner circle. Judas was the treasure. Peter was the one of which Jesus said, upon this church I will build. Upon this rock I will build my church. Peter. And I've been thinking, how do we even know that Peter denied knowing Jesus three times? because Peter was the only one there in the courtyard. All the other disciples ran away, right? You know how we know? Because Peter went back and told the guys, "You're not going to believe what I did. I feel horrible about this." Both Judas and Peter repented. Now, the word repentance means a change of mind. Judas went back to the religious authorities and said, "I want a do-over. Here, take the money back. This isn't going the way I thought it was going to go." He repented. And of course, when Peter denied knowing Jesus, he wept bitterly and ran away in disgust of himself. So here's my thought. What if Judas would have pulled a Peter? He just would have gone back to the disciples and said, "Guys, I did something super horrible here. I mean, I betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I feel horrible about this. Will you guys forgive me?" Do you think the disciples would have forgiven him? Yes. You know why? Because they would have said, "We did the same thing. We all ran away and we all denied and betrayed Jesus." Here's a question. After Jesus rose from the dead, do you think if Judas would have showed up and said to Jesus, "I am so embarrassed. I am so filled with shame. I'm not really sure all the reasons why I betrayed you, but would you please forgive me?" Do you think that Jesus would have forgiven Judas? You bet he would have. There is no sin too great that you've committed that God can't forgive you. But Satan plays a mind trick on us, and the mind trick is you're too far gone. You've embarrassed yourself too much. You've let God down too much. No. If Jesus can forgive Peter, and of course, if Judas would have asked for it and not gone down a different pathway, he would have forgiven Judas. He can certainly forgive you and me. I read a quote the other day I want to share with you. "The cross is not what God inflicts in order to forgive. The cross is what God in Christ endures as he forgives. And on that cross, our sins are absorbed and dissolved in the love of God." I think most people know John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But do you know John 3:17? "For the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." God is not judging you. God is not condemning you. God is not mad at you. God is not disgusted with you. Jesus is here to say, "I came to help and I came to heal." That's our second greatest need, the need for forgiveness. There's one more great need, and that is the need to live with power, to live on purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he prepared for us long ago." On Tuesday of this past week, a barge hit a bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. How many of you have been over that bridge? Yeah, lots of us. We're told that this massive barge hit the bridge because it lost power. And with losing power, it lost steering. And it was either the momentum of the current or the momentum that the barge had already created before it lost power. It just sort of drifted on into the bridge. And of course, there was loss of life because of that. I think there's a spiritual metaphor. When we don't have meaning and purpose in life, we drift, and eventually bad things happen. So let me ask you a question. What gets you out of bed in the morning? Why are you here? What's your purpose in life? Are you thriving, flourishing? Every person's life has a trajectory. Do you like where your trajectory is going? So the angel told the women, go tell my disciples that I'm alive and I want to go meet them in the Galilee. Well, that's exactly what happened. The disciples ended up meeting Jesus in the Galilee, and while Jesus had cooked some breakfast for them, right? There's that story in John's gospel. Jesus takes the opportunity while everybody else is eating breakfast to say to Peter, come on, let's go for a walk. And he and Peter go for a walk, and they get far enough away, and Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, listen. Do you love me? Lord, I don't know what else to say. You know I love you. And I'm thinking probably Peter added a few words like, I'm just totally embarrassed. I had said to you that though everybody else abandoned you, I would never abandon you. And then like 3 hours later, I did the very thing I said I wasn't going to do. I'm so sorry. And Jesus said to him, hey, Peter, feed my sheep. So from that moment on, every single day, Peter got up and he said to himself, what's my job today? My job today is to feed Jesus' sheep. And that's what he ended up doing the rest of his life. Now, here's what I think. I think going to a big seminar to figure out your mission, your purpose, your value, I think that's fine, right? But I don't think you actually need to do that. You don't need to spend a ton of money to go figure out your purpose. I think the only thing that's required is one thing. Ask yourself this question every single day and you'll never drift. Here it is. What would Jesus do if he were me today? That's it. You don't need some grand plan for your life. You don't need to put out a 5-year or a 10-year plan of where you think your life is going. You know what I've discovered? Heaven chuckles and God blows it up. Oh, you think you know where you're going? Really? Let me throw a curveball in there. You know what your purpose is? Every day, wake up. What would Jesus do if he were me today? And if you do that, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't need to worry about next year. You don't need to worry about in 10 years. Because you'll never get far off track if you answer that question. So for those of you who are sitting in the first couple rows, you may have noticed that there's a $10 bill on each altar. Except there's not one here, which means it either blew away or somebody in the front row took it and stuck it in their pocket. Here it is. I got it. So if you're sitting in the first few rows, you're probably thinking there are some benefits to sitting in the first 5 rows, right? But not today. Because I want to speak only to the people who are in the overflow and the last 5 rows. All right, you're counting pretty quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm in. Okay? Here's my invitation. If you're sitting in the overflow, if you're in the back 5 rows, I want to give you, all of us, I want to give an illustration of faith. Because listen, how do you get more hope? How do you get a hope that endures through really hard times? How do you get your sins forgiven? And how do you live life on purpose? See, all these things are available to you, but you need one thing. Your part is faith. So what is faith? Here it is. Here's where the back 5 rows and the overflow, you come in. If you're sitting back there, the first 5 people that come up and take these $10 bills, they're yours. Go. There's still one more, Braden. Come on, it's right over here. Where? Oh, no, there's one right here, too. is somebody going to leave $10 on the table? Seriously?
I'll leave it straight in the middle.
All right. Come on up. You got it. It's yours. Okay, you're awake now. What is faith? I gave a straightforward invitation to receive something you did not earn, you did not talk me into giving. I just simply gave you a straightforward invitation. If you want it, it's available. And yet, why were there some people that just hesitated? Maybe it's too good to be true. Maybe there's going to be a bait and switch. As I get up here, he's going to tell me to do something else and I'm going to be embarrassed. Or maybe you just are a private person and you don't want to draw attention to yourself. You know what faith is? Faith is movement. Faith is saying, I know that a free gift is available to me it's available. But it requires movement on my part. Do you know that the Bible says in the book of Jude that even demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God? They believe. They're not going to heaven. New Testament belief is not just a, I get it up here. It's a, I need to actually invite Christ into my life. So here's my thought. Here's what the next few moments are going to look like. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and I'm going to pray a special prayer, and I'll talk more about that in a second. After I pray, we're going to have some baptisms, which are always the highlight of Easter. After those baptisms, there's going to be a closing song, and in that closing song, I'm going to be over here, and Pastor Jake is going to be over there because we have two spontaneous baptism stations. And if even though you didn't ask to be baptized, like the last several weeks we've just put the word out there, if you'd like to be baptized, let us know. Even if you weren't part of that invitation, or maybe it's your first Sunday here, but you would like to be baptized, showing that I'm demonstrating my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you just walk up to one of these stations, and I promise not to pour too much. Well, we have a towel we're going to wrap around your neck and just pour over you, and we're going to baptize you. Spontaneous baptisms. And by coming forward, that's your sign to say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you? Now, here's the special prayer. There are probably many people in this room that know about God but don't know God in a personal way. And the way that you can know God in a personal way is by inviting Jesus into your life so you can receive hope, forgiveness, purpose, and meaning in your life. All that's the package deal. They all come when you invite Christ into your life. If that sounds appealing to you, here's what I'm asking you to do. Just one thing. I'm going to ask you to stand right where you're at. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. Just stand right where you're at. And then I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. And then we'll move on with the service. Does that make sense to you? So everybody bow your heads right now. Close your eyes, because this is a private moment, right? If you need more hope, if you'd like your sins to be forgiven, if you need purpose and meaning in your life, because you know you're drifting, and you'd like to invite Christ into your life right now, I'm just going to ask you to stand right where you're at. I will not embarrass you. I will not ask you to do anything other than just have you stand right there. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Many are standing. Maybe you're hesitating, just like the $10 bill, right? You're like, I don't know. Is it too good to be true? This is what grace is. So for those that are standing, just follow this prayer. Pray this prayer underneath your breath. There's nothing magical about what I'm about to say. but I can promise you, if you believe it, Jesus will come into your life. Dear Jesus, it's, and then give your name. I want you to forgive every sin I've ever committed. Would you please do so right now? I trust you with my life. I'm giving my life over to you. I don't exactly know what that means, but I'm taking a leap of faith. I'm moving towards you. Come into my life. Give me hope. Give me purpose and meaning. I trust you this moment to be my Savior. Amen. You may be seated.